Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 15, verse 15. John chapter 15, verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And the next verse is from the same chapter, chapter 15, verse 5 to 8. Chapter 15, verse 5 to 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
For the past few weeks, since the beginning of this new year, we have learned to pray from our Lord Jesus, who is the master in prayer. Last week, we learned that some reasons of an answer to unanswered prayers. Prayer is a lifelong learning experience. About 100 years ago, Andrew Murray wrote a classic. It's called With Christ in the School of Prayers. What he wrote in that book remains relevant even today, because all of us as students, lifelong students in prayer. It is important to learn about prayer, how to pray properly, but it is even more important to pray. It's no use just to have the knowledge, but without practicing it. This year's theme, our church theme, is to pray continually. I hope that through the many sermons and with the themes, I wonder, has prayer make a difference? Have you make a difference in your prayer life through these themes and the sermons that you have heard? Today, I'm going to conclude the series of prayers with the title, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. The subtitle is Prayer to Experience the Presence of God. In today's scripture, we just read the first one. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Here Jesus says, I have called you friends. Prayer is not just making requests to God or asking God for instructions and guidance in our lives. It is also a way to maintain constant communion, like close friends with God the Father and God the Son, through God the Holy Spirit. Prayer is the means of living out the intense relationship Jesus described in John 15, 5 to 8. It's the second verse that we read today. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Here Jesus described such a close relationship with him, like vine and branches. Prayer and God's presence are the two sides of the same coin. Awareness of God's presence comes as a result of taking time to speak and listen to him through prayer. At Sunday school, if a teacher asks the students, what is God like? I'm sure some student can respond that, God is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. Or some people may say, God is omniscience, meaning God is all wisdom, all wise, all knowing. Or some people may quote another term, God is omnipresent, meaning God is everywhere, ever present. So our students, after many years of Sunday school, may have a good knowledge of God. But if the teacher continues to ask, can someone share about your experience with God for the last week? What do you think would be the response? I would think probably the response would be silence. Because a lot of people do not really experience God, or cannot experience, or even though God is around, but a lot of people, many of us, just cannot see, cannot feel, cannot sense the presence of God. Brother Lawrence was a cook in the 17th century in a French monastery. He gave the world this famous phrase, the presence of the presence of God, in his little book with the same title. In this book, he described having a deep communion with Jesus while he was cooking, washing dishes, and serving his brothers in the monastery. The book described how he felt the glow of God's presence when he was doing menial job duties in the kitchen. And that brings richness and significance in his life. So if all of us follow Brother Lawrence's example, we can all try to commune meaningfully with our Lord Jesus while we drive to work, while we are on the job, while visiting someone in the hospital, or doing exercise in the swimming pool, or lying in bed. We can all try to sense the presence of Jesus anywhere, anytime, and under any circumstances. This is applying the doctrine of omnipresence, experiencing God's presence in our life and enjoying his friendship through his son Jesus. The truth that we have a friend in Jesus should not be too surprising to us, because the entire Bible reveals to us the desire that God wants to be close to his creation, meaning us. Right from the beginning of the first book in the Bible, Genesis, God created a garden of Eden, and in that garden, God communed, had friendship with Adam and Eve. It's a perfect relationship. God created this garden to have good fellowship with us. And since the fall, since human disobeyed God, sin entered into the world, in the second book, Genesis, after God rescued the Israelites away from Egypt, the land of slavery, God led the Israelites into the land of the wilderness, in the desert area. The book of Exodus, God devoted a big chunk of the scripture, 15 chapters in Exodus, talk about instructing Moses of how to prepare to build a tabernacle. And the final two chapters talk about building the tabernacle. Now, what does a tabernacle mean? Anyone? What does a tabernacle mean? Why did God ask the people, devoted such a big chunk of scripture telling the Israelites, you know, you offer money, you offer material, offer things to build the tabernacle? What's the big deal about this tent? Anyone? 15 chapters, if you count, of the tabernacle. What's the purpose of a tabernacle? Maybe my typical response in Sunday school, nobody answer. Just yell it out, John. What's the tabernacle represents? Yeah, the tabernacle is a symbol meaning God's presence. God wants to show his presence among the people. In the Old Testament, the greatest, when God sent out his people, his leader, to do something, and the people was afraid, you know, the judges were afraid, Moses was afraid, Joshua was afraid, and the prophets were afraid, and God gave them this big promise. The greatest promise God to tell them is, I will be with you. Joshua, don't worry, you know, I will be with you. God's presence is all we need. So when it comes to the New Testament, the New Testament begins with God's offering his presence in the person of his son, Jesus. Matthew 1, angel was sent to Joseph and tell them about the promised son. And the baby was to be called Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel means? God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. Gospel of John tells a different angle of God's presence. Gospel of John talk about the Word became flesh and make his dwelling among us. In verse 14, first chapter. What it means, made his dwelling among us, literally means God pitched his tent, his tabernacle with us. So Gospel of John talks about God incarnate, took on flesh to live among us. This is his entire purpose. And then Jesus spent the next, after he become an adult, 3.5 years in earthly ministry. He was present with his disciples, but only a limited group. But towards the end of his earthly ministry, he promised to his disciples a much bigger and longer presence. He says, "And I, when I leave, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, who's the counselor, to help you and be with you forever." The Spirit of Truth. This is the counselor, is the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus promised the arrival, presence of the Counselor, who is the Holy Spirit. And this is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, as we call it in the second chapter of Acts. The Holy Spirit arrived, and the moment that we accept Jesus, we surrender our life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells in our lives forever. So in the Holy Old Testament, God was present in his temple, in the tabernacle, and later on in the temple. And since Pentecost, we have become the temple. We become the temple of God. God dwells in us. In the New Testament, in Paul's letter, the term in Christ is the most common phrase Paul used to describe Christians. This phrase represents our close relationship with Jesus in Christ. We are in Christ. Bill Hybel in his book Too Busy to Pray, he says, "Prayer is the way to turn dry theological descriptions into warm, living, personal realities. When we live in constant communion with God, our needs are met, our faith increases, and our love expands. we begin to feel God's peace in our hearts, and we spontaneously worship Him. Do you want to experience God in a personal way? Prayer is the means to help us do it. Hebrew chapter 4, verse 15, 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive grace and find mercy. We receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Jesus came down on earth to experience, to understand it, just as we are, what it means to be tempted in every way, yet he did not sin, so that we can come to his throne of mercy to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. What a friend we have in Jesus. The song begins. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. May this inspire all of us to pray more intentionally, so that we can experience God's presence in our life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus, and our Counselor, Advocate, the Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our life, in our world. Help us not just to see you in a mysterious way, but also see you in an ordinary way in our daily life. Give us the sensitivity to be in constant communion with you in our daily life, whether we are driving, working, or recreation, or sharing, talking to one another. May we sense your presence, and we also be channel of blessings to other people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please continue to teach us and encourage us to pray and to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen to that. Thank you, Pastor Wong, for your message. This psalm here talks about God as a good father and